Welcome back to our Bible study. We are coming close to the end of the book of Esther. And so in chapter 7, we saw the great reversal happen where Haman, who had really been pursuing Mordecai and the Jews, everything that he wanted to happen to them comes back on him because of his pride. But Esther is the one who presents it to the king and presents it in a way where the king is angry because she presented it as her people were in trouble. And so he responds being very protective of her and asks who would do such a thing. And she points out that it's Haman, who was sitting right there at the table at dinner. And so the king then sends off Haman to be executed for that. So now that, you know, Haman has now been he's paid for his sin, his pride, with his life. But now we still have the question, okay, well, what's going to happen to the Jews? Because that decree has been put out there. So that's where we pick up in chapter 8 in this book. So let's see what the Bible says today. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "On that day, King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman." So remember, the order that was sent out was that all the Jews were going to be killed, and all of their possessions would be plundered. And so here now we see that it's actually Haman who was executed, and now all of his possessions have been plundered, and the signet ring was taken off of his finger and put on Mordecai's, and now Mordecai is sitting over the house of Haman. So everything that Haman was and had has now gone to Mordecai because Esther pointed him out and said how he had taken care of her, he had raised her, and he was her relative. And so now he has been elevated to essentially second in command to the king. And so we see what a victory and turn of events this is for Mordecai. So now verse 3, it says, "Then Esther spoke again to the king, and she fell at his feet and wept and pleaded with him to avert the evil plan of Haman the Agagite and the plot that he had devised against the Jews. And when the king held out the golden scepter to Esther, Esther rose and stood before the king. And she said, 'If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and if the right thing seems before the king and I am pleasing in his eyes, let an order be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman the Agagite, the son of Hamathta, which he wrote to destroy the Jews who are in all the provinces of the king. For how can I bear to see the calamity that is coming to my people? Or how can I bear to see the destruction of my kindred?'" So notice what she does. She has been saved because she's the queen. And now her next of kin, her really only next of kin, probably, Mordecai has been saved. But notice that's not enough for her. Notice the protection for her and her comfort and Mordecai's comfort and life is not enough for her. So now she approaches the king and pleads for him to do something to save all of the Jews, all of her people, because she wasn't just satisfied with only her pass, her free pass to freedom, or even Mordecai's free pass to freedom. No, she pleads for her people because she doesn't want that decree to continue so that they'll then be killed. Yeah, her life would be saved, but she cares so much about her people that she seeks for the king to do something about that. So verse 7, it says, "Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman and have hanged him on the gallows because he intended to lay hands on the Jews. But you may write as you please with regard to the Jews in the name of the king and seal it with the king's ring. For an edict written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's ring cannot be revoked." So the king doesn't really do anything about it, but instead he hands his ring over to Mordecai and he says, "You can write what you see fit. And then whatever you seal, then it cannot be revoked." So he could have essentially do something about revoking that or writing a new law that would then overwrite that or supersede that edict. And so while the king kind of passes it off, but he has nonetheless given them the right and the authority to be able to do that. And so what I want us to think about in this passage here is Queen Esther, her love for her people that would cause her to plead with the king to do something about saving their life. And so I think for us, what we can see here and what we need to think about is that if you know Christ and I know Christ today, then God has shown us great grace and mercy. He has saved us. He has given us new life. He has adopted us into his family. He's given us eternal life. He's given us a home in heaven with him, to be with him for all eternity. Like, he has saved us. He has saved our life from hell and separation from him and punishment for our sin. But our life should not only be focused on us making it to heaven, for us having eternal life. We should be pleading, just like Esther does to the king, we should be pleading to him to do something about our lost friends and loved ones and family members and neighbors, and even those people who don't know him that we don't know, even strangers to us. We should be pleading to the king, asking him to save more people. And so, do we have this kind of heart for people that Esther had? I mean, she was pleading for people. Yes, she was pleading for Jews that were her people, that were her ancestors or cultural relatives, right? They were all born the same people. But she's pleading for people across that kingdom that she doesn't know. But she wanted the king to save all of her people. And do we have that kind of compassion and desire to see people saved? Are we just good with our pass out of heaven? We're good. I mean, pass into heaven out of hell. We're just good with, hey, I'm on my way. Everybody else is free on their own. But what we can't forget is that it's only by God's mercy that we are on our way to heaven, that we do have eternal life, that he is our father and we are his child. It's nothing we did. It's simply the grace and mercy of God who reached down and saved us and gave us new life. It's like we talked about, we saw with Paul that Jesus pursued Paul and Jesus pursued us. Many times we're not looking for him, but he pursued us and confronted us with our sin. And he gives us a new heart and he gives us new life so that now we can spend eternity with him. But are we pleading with him to save people just like Esther did? Notice what it said. It said that she fell at his feet and wept and pleaded with him to avert the evil plan of Haman. And so, if we understand that our salvation was only by the grace of God, it's the only way that we can be saved, is that it's by God's grace that we heard the gospel and that we responded to the gospel. It takes God's work in our heart to be able to respond. Then are we pleading with him to save more people? Are we doing that? Are we praying for our lost loved ones? Are we praying for our lost neighbors? Are we praying for our lost classmates? Are we praying for people that don't know him? And are we praying for people even in other countries and the unreached people groups and things like that that we may never meet? But are we praying for God to save them, to send missionaries, to send laborers out, like Luke 10:2 says? Are we praying for God? Are even our prayers evangelistic? Or are we just going through our list of things? Hey, God, I need this. Take care of this. Heal this. And maybe you pray for people. Maybe you pray for loved ones, but you're praying again for things for them. Or are you praying for God to send out laborers? Are you praying for people to get saved? Are you interceding for people the way that Esther does to the king here for her people? And so I think we get to see a very evangelistic thought from this passage here. And we're going to continue to see it in the next video as well. But the first thing I want us to think about is our prayers and interceding here for those who are far from God. Are we praying those? Are we making those part of our prayers and asking God to save people? Because it's only going to take a work of Him to save people. And so that's where it has to start. That's not the only part that we do, but are we even praying that? Are we praying God to save people and to add more people to His kingdom? And so we need to be interceding for people daily, regularly, always, so that people can come to saving knowledge and faith and repent and follow Jesus. And so it begins with our prayers, praying for people. So hopefully, here's something I would encourage you to do. Maybe write down some people right now. Think of people that are far from God, that don't have a relationship with Him, or maybe you're not sure. But write them down and start praying for them. And pray for them. Pray for them by name. And start asking God to work in their heart, to work in their life. Maybe there are people that are here, maybe there are people that are far away. And then think about the unreached people groups, the people that there is no missionary there. You need to pray for them. You need to pray for them regularly. Because as the Bible says in Romans, as Paul says, he says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? And so we need to pray for them. But we need to have prayers that are focused We need to have prayers that are focused on evangelism and getting the gospel out. Not just the things that we want God to do for us, but we need to be praying for people to be saved, praying for people to hear the gospel. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next video. But today, are you interceding for people to come to know Jesus? That's because that's really where it starts. And so unlike the king here, the king just kind of passes it over to Mordecai and says, well, hey, you write it. What we can know is that when we pray to our God, to the God, the one true God, we know that He hears us and we know that He cares. And we know that He does something about the sin. And so, hope you'll join me here in a couple days. And we're going to continue in chapter 8. But that's our thought for today, is let's be people that intercede for others, especially those that are far from God. So God bless you. Hope you all have a great day. And we'll see you on Thursday.